So if you grabbed your outline, you're gonna want to pull that out. In our study of the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul, he has now set out on the first of three missionary journeys, as you know, he would go on during his ministry. In this first journey, Paul partnered with Barnabas, who you might remember bore witness to the genuineness of Paul's conversion to everyone in the church in Jerusalem. Now, last week, after proclaiming the gospel in both Seleucia and Cyprus, Paul and Barnabas found themselves in a place called Paphos, where they encountered a false prophet named Bar-Jesus. As we learned through Caleb's message, as followers of Jesus, we must be prepared to draw a sword. We must be prepared to pull out God's word to deliver a message of truth when we're confronting lies and untruth. This evening, our passage of study, these band of brothers make their way to a place called Pisidian Antioch. Pisidian Antioch was considered the most important Roman colony in Asia Minor. The journey from Cyprus would be long and tiring. They would travel 180 miles by sea, and then they would have to walk another 100 miles on foot through mountains to reach the city, which was 3,600 feet above sea level. So it was kind of a climb. Tonight is another first for Paul, because his message is the first of his recorded speeches in Scripture. It is also Paul's only synagogue sermon to Jews. Now, synagogues are not to be confused with temples. Synagogues are places where the Jews gathered, and they read Scripture, and they learned, and they prayed together, whereas the temple is the place where God's Spirit dwelled. Paul's strategy in ministry, as you might remember, was always to go to the Jews first, always to go to the synagogues, because at that time, Christianity was primarily a movement among those who were following Judaism. Paul, like Jesus, preached to the God of the Jews. He preached the kingdom promised to the Jews. In the 1970s, the brokerage firm E.F. Hutton ran an unforgettable series of TV commercials. Now, I know for some of you this makes absolutely no sense at all. So rather than explain it only, let's watch one of their many commercials. Joe, can you hit the lights for me, please?
All right, children. Who's going to be the first one to recite the alphabet? How about you, Anne?
A, B, C, D, E, F, E, F, E, F, Hutton.
When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen.
The setup was always similar. There were two people in a crowded space, and they were talking about financial matters. One shares the wisdom from his broker, and then the other person responds, "Well, my broker is E.F. Hutton." And E.F. Hutton says, and at that point in time, the surrounding crowd immediately quiets. Everything goes still. In the time of this commercial, the EF had become so prominent that uttering the words led to silence, even in a grade classroom. Everyone would lean forward eagerly to hear what EF Hutton had to say. You guys remember this, right?
I do.
The voiceover explains when EF Hutton talks, people listen, right, Mr.? People listen. Yeah, even as a teenage boy, I had zero interest in financial matters. Zero interest. But I learned that E.F. Hutton had a voice worth hearing, a powerful voice indeed. According to Genesis, God's voice is even more powerful than E.F. Hutton's. By speaking, God actually creates. When God says, "Let there be light," light comes into existence, Genesis 1:3 tells us. When God says, "Let the earth put forth vegetation," the earth is filled with plants and trees, we see in verses 11 and 12 of Genesis 1. The voiceover for Genesis 1 might say, when God talks, creation happens. God's word is indeed more powerful than E.F. Hutton's. And if this is true, which we know it is, then surely we ought to pay attention to what God says. Like those eavesdroppers in the E.F. Hutton commercials, we should quiet down enough, pay attention, and listen to what God says. Well, Paul's commission from God was to spread the important message of the gospel everywhere he traveled. Paul had an important message for his audience in Pisidian Antioch. And as we open the Bible and read God's word, there's an important message for us as well. So if you have your Bibles with you or on your phone, turn to Acts 13. And we're going to start with verse 14. A lot of scripture here. On the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue and sat down. After reading from the law and the prophets, the leaders of the synagogue sent word to them saying, "Brothers, if you have a word of exhortation for the people, please speak." Standing up, Paul motioned with his hand and said, "Fellow Israelites and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. The God of the people of Israel chose our ancestors. He made the people prosper during their stay in Egypt. With mighty power, he led them out of that country. For about 40 years, he endured their conduct in the wilderness. And he overthrew seven nations in Canaan, giving their land to his people as their inheritance. All this took about 450 years. After this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel the prophet. Then after, the people asked for a king, and he gave them Saul, son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled 40 years. After removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do.' From this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior, Jesus, as he promised. Before the coming of Jesus, John preached repentance and baptism to all the people of Israel. As John was completing his work, he said, 'Who do you suppose I am? I am not the one you're looking for, but there is one coming after me, whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie.' Fellow children of Abraham and you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus. Yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. When they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the cross and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and many days he was seen by those who traveled with him from Jerusalem, from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to our people. Well, to you, the good news. We tell you the good news, What God promised our ancestors, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. And it is written in the second Psalm, 'You are my son today. I have become your father.' God raised him from the dead so that he will never be subject to decay. As God has said, 'I will give you the holy and sure blessings promised to David.'" And then skipping ahead to verse 38. "Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you are not able to obtain under the law of Moses." I know that was a lot of information to digest, but as we continue, we'll unpack a few sections of this text. Before we look at the heart of Paul's message, what struck me as I first read this section in my studies is found in the first verse, verse 14. On the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue and sat down. I thought to myself, wait a minute. I thought Paul's mission was to communicate God's important message. But his ministry in Pisidian Antioch starts with Paul sitting down. And it continues with Paul listening as God's word is read and discussed in the synagogue. What might be the significance of this? Well, I believe there's an all-important first step through observing Paul's actions that you and I can learn that'll help us effectively communicate God's message in our world. And that is listening before speaking. The story as it's told is that President Roosevelt often endured long receiving lines in the White House. And Roosevelt complained that no one really paid any attention to what was being said. So one day, during a reception, he decided he was going to try an experiment. To each person who passed down the line and shook his hand, he murmured, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." The guest responded with phrases like, "Marvelous! Keep up the good work. We're proud of you. God bless you, sir." It was not until the end of the line, while he was greeting the ambassador for Bolivia, that his words were actually heard. Surprised and not sure exactly what to say to President Roosevelt, the ambassador leaned over and whispered, "I'm sure she had it coming." While Paul had an important message to communicate, he began by listening. There's a big difference between hearing and listening. Hear and listen are two commonly confused words in the English language. When do you use each one? I mean, the words both talk about our ears, and they can be applied to the same thing. I mean, I can hear music, I can listen to music, I hear speaking, I can listen to speaking, but they are different. They have different meanings. Hear is a verb, and that means to sense a sound with our ears. When you hear something, it's by chance. It means you're not actively paying attention. You're not waiting for the sound. Oh, you called earlier. I heard the telephone ring. I couldn't get to it. I think I hear someone laughing in the back room. Did you hear the announcement about the God's Not Dead movie? Did you hear that? Well, listening is a verb too, but it means to give your attention to a sound. When we listen, we're actively concentrating on that sound. Please listen to the tour guide very carefully. The speaker wants you to concentrate on what they're about to tell you. Well, after the recording ends, listen for the beep and leave a message. So what do? We listen for the beep, and then when the beep happens, we leave a message. Well, when we get home, we're going to pull in the driveway, we're going to honk the horn, and then come out. We don't have a lot of time, so let's rush. So they wait, listening for the horn. Listening requires paying attention. And it results in the sound being anticipated, the sound being understood. Pastor Drew often shares the quote, "Nobody will care what you know until they know what you care, that you care." Wise words as we engage with other people. Paul began his ministry by listening to what was being said in the synagogue. You know, the New Testament provides two texts which describe in some detail the practice of the synagogue in the days of Jesus and the apostles. The first is in Luke 14, and the second we find here in Acts 13. Both accounts tell us that readings from the Old Testament occur, and afterward, they're followed by an explanation. And the accounts also tell us that if there were any guest speakers present, then they were given the opportunity to speak. Scripture tells us right here, after the reading from the law and the prophets, the leaders of the synagogue sent word to them, referring to Paul and Barnabas, saying, "Brothers, if you have a word of exhortation for the people, please speak." Well, Paul then stood up and preached his only recorded synagogue sermon. Inside Paul's message in Pisidian Antioch, he gives a brief synopsis of Israelites' history. He moves from Egypt to the conquest in Canaan, to the covenant with David. And then he jumps to Jesus as the son of David, the Messiah, the Savior that was prophesied. Listening was an effective part in the communication of Paul's message. Why was it effective? Because Paul communicates their place in God's story. Paul lays a foundation for his sermon by reviewing the history of the nation of Israel and God's people, beginning with Abraham through David becoming king. His message spoke of God's sovereignty and of Israel's sin. It spoke of God's faithfulness, regardless of Israel's failures. Paul's audience was comprised of Jews and God-fearing Gentiles. And Paul knows this because he spent time listening to them. He understood his audience, and he understood what they were teaching in the synagogue, what they believed. Paul shows us that there's importance in framing God's message inside the worldview, inside the life, inside the history, so people can understand what's being said and where they fit. Paul helped them to put the events of Israel in the past in perspective of God's overall story. And he was building a bridge by which he uses to help them understand the important message he's about to give them as God's chosen people. Paul addressed his sermon to those who are familiar with Judaism and the Old Testament, those who knew about the history and the faith of Israel. This makes sense somewhat, Mr. Robert, but that was then and this was now. That was Paul, and I'm not Paul. So how can listening before speaking help us effectively now to create and communicate God's message effectively? Well, it actually works the same by us helping others see their place in God's story. When we listen first, we spend time in understanding others. This is vital information that we store up. And when the time is appropriate, we use it to help the person see themselves in relation to God's story. For example, the person you're speaking with says something like this: "Nothing I do seems to matter. Matter of fact, I'm not sure I even matter." That's a powerful piece of information, Westbridge. What if they say, "I'm afraid. I'm scared. I just feel lost in my life. I mean, I don't know why I'm here and what I'm supposed to do. I'm so angry. I sometimes feel sad and all alone." Any one of these statements, as you learn more about the person you're speaking with, equips you to lay a foundation for sharing a message from God. Let's get back to our text. Having laid the foundation for his message by listening and contextualizing their history, Paul reaches the pinnacle of his sermon and shares the message of the gospel. Salvation is available not by the following the law of Moses, but by placing one's faith in Jesus. Verse 32. "We tell you the good news. What God promised our ancestors, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus, as it is written in the second psalm, 'You are my son. Today I have become your father.' God raised him from the dead, and so that he will never be subject to decay, as God has said, 'I will give you the holy and sure blessings promised to David.'" Verse 38. "Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you're not able to obtain under the law of Moses." Here we find two more important steps that can help us effectively communicate God's message to others. Step two, we speak about God's grace. And step three, we speak about God's solution. Listening before speaking is vital because you can use what you learn about them to help that person connect with the truth of God's word, the power of the gospel. For the person who feels unwanted to God, he or she matters. God created them. He loves them. God wants a personal relationship with them. That's the bridge you can walk them on. He cares for them so much he sent his son. For those who are afraid or anxious, you can talk to them. Try to help them understand their feelings of fear and anxiety in the context of God's word and the security and the peace that's available through Jesus. For someone searching for purpose and meaning in life, you can talk to them about not searching for those things in the world because they're not found there. They're found in God's word, the answers to the questions. Their true life is waiting for them. All they have to do is accept God's offer. Throughout Paul's message, he connects his readers with God's story. They see their place. He reminds them of God's grace through Israel's history, all while walking them to God's solution, the foot of the cross where Jesus was crucified, after which he was buried and rose again from the dead to do what the law of Moses never could achieve, full payment for the penalty of sin. We tell you the good news. What God promised our ancestors, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. Paul, in his message, spoke of the good news of the fulfillment of the promise of God to their fathers. He spoke of the forgiveness of sins. As members of God's chosen people, their past didn't commend them before God. It condemned them, he explained. Their entire system of law-keeping through Israel's past, as summarized by Paul, was a failure. Time and time again, God extended his grace to Israel, and yet they continued to run away from him. They continued to disobey. The message of salvation that Paul spoke of was one that could truly set them free. The people of Pisidian Antioch had been relying on their law-keeping and the pride of their past as a means of salvation. However, Paul's message calls them to face up to the truth of their past and look to the truth of the Messiah who had come. God's righteousness had been revealed in the person of Christ. And through faith in Jesus, they could receive forgiveness of sins and salvation. My friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin. For those of you that are watching online, and those of you who are here today, if you don't know Jesus, then where are you placing your faith? Are you placing your faith in good works? There's never anything that we can do that's good enough. God is a righteous judge. Sin condemns us, but he gave us grace. He sent his son. We can never do anything that gets us in God's good graces, his righteousness. But because of his grace, he sent his son to die for you. If you have not accepted him, then he's waiting. All you have to do is ask him. I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin. Faith is all you need to proclaim. This morning, 18 West Virginians, as Ms. Sarah shared with us, took the mission field here in Alpha by canvassing the area, placing blue bag invitations on mailboxes and doorknobs, inviting our neighbors to join us here for worship. Why? Because God has an important message for the people of Alpha. His message is a message of grace. It's a message of mercy. It's a message of love. In Westbridge, we are God's messengers. Now, I understand not everyone is comfortable with witnessing, presenting the gospel. We each have different gifts, as we've learned. But I am certain each one of us, each one of you, can carry out the three steps we talked about tonight. Each one of us can be listening before we're speaking. New people will walk through that door. They may or may not have been invited because of a blue bag. God will bring new people into your school. He'll bring new people into your life at work. You'll meet new people in the community. Let's be good listeners. Let's seek to really get to know the people God put in our path. If you meet someone who has a need and you have the means to help them, so ask them, "Can I help?" If someone is struggling, you can offer to pray for them. You can offer to pray with them. You can invite them out for a cup of coffee to get to know them. Or you can tell them, "I don't know what you're going through, but I know I found what I was looking for in church. Would you like to join me on Saturday night?" Invite them to come to church with you. And should the opportunity present itself, as it did for Paul, and you're invited to speak a word of exhortation, through the power of the Spirit, share God's message of love and hope in a way that helps them see themselves in light of God's story and his solution. You can listen before you speak. You can also speak about God's grace. You may not know everything that the Bible says. In fact, if you're a new Christian, you may know very little. But there is one thing that each of you know better than anyone else. And it's the only thing that you are a master of, and you can tell that no one can. And that's the grace God extended to you. Who you were before you gave your life to Christ is your story to tell. What was it like? How did you feel before Christ came in your life? Perhaps you were one of those people who had feelings of loneliness or anxiety or fear. Then you could talk about your life since accepting Christ, how the power of his Spirit and God's word is changing you from who you were to who God created you to be. The power of your life story and what God has done for you is one of the best ways for you and I to speak about God's grace. And step three, speak about God's solution. You can tell them that God loves them because you know it, because he loves you. And God offers them a plan and a purpose for their life. You can highlight that sin separates us from God, and therefore we can't really know and experience his true love or his plan. But God's grace provided a way. Jesus is God's provision for sin. And through him and only him, they can know and experience God's love and plan for their life. Jesus is the all-important message in Paul's sermon in Pisidian Antioch. And for your friend, for that to happen, all they need to do is individually receive Jesus Christ. Ask him through faith, believing that he came, he died, he rose again for their sins. Asking them to come into his life. That's Paul's message at Pisidian Antioch. And here in Alpha, that's the message we want to spread as well. Through online, that's the message we want to spread as well. There's a God who loves you. There's a God who sacrificed his son so that you could connect with him. So as the worship team comes forward and we close out the service, take a few moments to talk to God. First and foremost, thank him for entrusting you with the task of communicating his important message to those in Alpha. Ask him to give you wisdom and courage, the opportunity to give a word of exhortation to others. While you and I wait for any God-given appointment to share his message, let's spend time listening, getting to know those that God has placed in our life. Would you stand as we sing? If you're here tonight and you don't know where you stand with God, I encourage you, don't wait any longer to make the most important decision of your life. After the service, Mr. Greg will be up front. Our prayer team is available. If you want to pray about something or you want to inquire more about the life that Christ has for you, then come talk to Greg or myself. We would love to speak to you more about God's plan and what salvation is about. And if you're still investigating, that's okay too. Join us online. Keep coming back on Saturday night. God's important message doesn't change. He still wants to get through to you. He still wants your heart because he loves you. Let's close out in prayer. Father God, you are so good. We thank you for meeting with us here tonight. We thank you for the provisions that you have given us. We thank you for the hearts that served us last week and church work days and giving out blue bags and those that couldn't make it who prayed for us and those that are here tonight eager to learn more about you. And Father, as we continue forward from this space and the space down the walkway, bring us folks who we can connect with you. Those who already know you that want to strengthen their faith, bring alongside so that we can strengthen our faith along with them. And Father, those that don't know you especially, Give us the opportunity to show them love, to connect them with your message of the gospel. And Father, we leave this all in your hands. We love you, Lord. Keep us safe throughout the week till we meet yet again. Father, you're so good. And we love you and praise you. In your name we ask, amen. See you next week, 7 o'clock.